Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN Podcast, episode 246. On the podcast today, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about Telit Communications. TCM is a ticker, and they're into the old Internet of Things. Plus, have the micro-macro news and the broker forecast. But first, I had a message on Twitter from Lucy, and she said to me, "Justin, love the podcast. I'm new to investing, and I'm wondering what the minimum amount you need to invest in a dividend-paying stock is." Do you know, it's hard to say this. There's no minimum amount, really, but you should look at the costs incurred when buying and selling stocks. Now, I'd suggest, let's just go random figures. Let's say, take 20 grand per annum as a salary. I know the average wage, I think, in the UK is about 26, I think. So let's go 20 grand, because round figures. Attempt, if you can, to put away 10% a month, if you can. And that would mean, at the end of the year, of course, you have 2,000 saved. Now, I think it's better to buy in chunks of like 500 or 1,000, pretty much. Because I'll give you an example. If you, say, saved £100 up, and then went to buy some stock, first of all, you charge a dealing fee. Now, this, you know, from the stockbroker. Now, this varies from place to place, but I'll say, let's put an average at £10, because some are higher, some are lower, and it depends on the frequency of deals. You get better deals if you deal more frequently. But let's put a £10 as a mean, as an average. And so that, if you're buying £100 worth of stock, that's 10% charge. And that's before you go into the spread of a company. That means some companies you buy and the offer bid spread is different. And so you may be down even further. So you've lost 10% of your money already, your capital, you know, plus stamp duty and all that stuff. So I'd say, first and foremost, this is the most important thing. Set up an ISA stocks and shares account. If you're not trading in one of these, then you really, you know, you are limiting the return you get, because you can be taxed on money you make on stocks and shares. And also now with the budget, if you earn more than £5,000 worth of dividends a year, you can also be taxed on that. If you put that all into an ISA, you're not taxed anything. Now, you can put in £5,240 per year, but the amount you make off that is, you know, unlimited. Pretty much, well, it's limited, of course, but if you're a phenomenal investor like Warren Buffett, you turn that into millions, it's all tax-free, completely, in an ISA. It's wrapped in that tax-free wrapper, so you can't be taxed. So first and foremost, do that. And secondly, set up the ISA and just put money in. You can put it by direct debit, so once a month, whatever you've saved, 10%, whatever, put it in to the ISA. And while you're doing that, while you're building up your money, do some research. And another bit of advice I'd give is, don't go for AIM stocks. If you're new to investing, AIM is an alternative investment market. It's not the fully listed, it's less regulated than the fully listed London Stock Exchange. And so you get companies on there that, you know, startups are new, they have a limited amount of capital, so they may do placings, they may dilute their share capital. And, you know, it's hard. And put it this way, this is the track record of AIM over the last 20 years. 72% of all investments have lost money on AIM. So, yes, there are some, I mean, for example, I've had some cracking returns on AIM. I've also had some losses. Like, I'll give you an example. Renewron is on AIM, and I'm up, you know, nearly double figures in that now, and Advanced Oncotherapy, they're on AIM. But I've also had some horrific stories on AIM, and more often than not, of course, stats suggest you will have more horrific stories than good ones. So I'd go for companies listed fully on the stock exchange, and you have to do a bit of digging to find this out, but it just makes you, I mean, I'm not saying you can't find cracking companies on AIM, you can, but stats are odds weighed against you. So go for companies that pay a dividend, because you know what? The stats also suggest that dividend-paying stocks outperform growth stocks and penny stocks year on year, pretty much not every year, but over a long period of time, they do outperform. Of course, there's huge spikes in. The thing is, people want to get rich. That's the trouble, and do very little, you know. So they see these oil companies, mining exploration companies, on AIM spiking, say 100-200% in a day. And think, yes, I'll do that. I'll double, triple my money overnight. Doesn't happen like that, because most people get in, the share price drops by about 90% before it actually doubles or triples. And most people have sold out and lost their money by that. 30% of people who put their money in AIM lose 95% of their money. So you're playing. If you play the odds and you'll be a sensible person to play the odds, you're not going to win on AIM big time, even though you think the riches are there. It's hard work. So what are lessons learned there? First and foremost, set up an ISA stocks and shares account. Okay, that is a tax-free wrapper there. You can put £15,000, 240 quid in it. And secondly, go for companies that are generating profits and pay a nice dividend. Not too much, because if you look at a company, if you're going to screen for companies that pay, say, over 7% dividend, then you have to look whether they can afford that dividend. Look at dividend cover, and you want a minimum, when I look at companies, a minimum of 1x1 cover. Maybe 1.2, if it's a 2% cover, you can, it's whatever. But I think a minimum of a cover of 1. And that means they can cover their dividend payout from their cash flow, pretty much the earnings, rather than have to borrow. And companies will do, big companies can do that if they pay a high dividend. They can do that not for a sustained period, of course, because if you have them borrowing money to pay dividends, it's not a good model. So that's, first of all, go for a company with a good track record of increasing. Do you know what? It's basics. If you look at a company with revenue that's increased year over year, last 5 years, profits that have increased year over year, last 5 years, and dividends increase year over year for the last 5 years, and they cover the dividend, do you know what? You are buying a good company there. But also, one of the most important things, watch the price. Don't chase the price. Don't overpay for that company. Look at the PE levels. Look at PEG levels. So try and buy, in a succinct summary, in which I'm just messing around, talking nonsense here, I'm babbling on, buy a good company at a good price. And you know what a good company is. It's good profits, good balance sheet, pay a nice dividend. And if you can find one of those, you're doing well, you know, but save up money and take your time, do the research, and then buy in a company you have ultimate confidence in, not something you hope will double overnight. And joining me on the podcast on this Monday afternoon is CEO of Brand Communications, Alan Green. You all right, Al?
Yes, Jess, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm all right, yeah. How was your weekend?
Well, it wasn't bad actually. We went to Beckenham to see some family and had a wonderful weekend and some very good wine and very good food. So yeah, all's good. But bit of a miserable old day down here. It's a drizzle, yeah, and wind and it's feeling not even autumnal. It's feeling sort of wintry almost.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, do you know what? I get up quite early because I work on a breakfast show, and recently I've been getting up, and it's been light, you know, and I wake up about sort of, what time do I wake up? About 4:45 in the morning, and I realise, for some reason, I was a bit bored, obviously, looking at the internet, looking at the sunrise times, and I realise by the end of this month, it'll be dark when I get up, and by the end of next month, it'll be dark when I get to work, so we're losing about two minutes of of light every day now. So we are headed towards the winter, and which that's not a bad thing for the stock markets, though, is it? Because winter times, the stock market does well, you know.
Well, it does. Yeah. We had the run up to, dare I say, Christmas. So of course, if it's getting darker, that means how many shopping days till Christmas? Not many. And
for me, half really. I spend half a day Christmas shopping online.
Yes,
that's all I need.
This is where Amazon really make their money. It's incredible. I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Marvellous. Well, we can't avoid the Greek thing. I mean, I just think they've been forced into a corner here. They have to do something, Greeks, because their banks have been shut for nearly 2 weeks. There's no money in the system there. They're caught in a rock and a hard place, and they have to do a deal. But will it stick? That's what I'm thinking. We don't know yet. But obviously, Wednesday is the time when they put it to the Greek government, and they choose. And there's odds now that Cyprus will not be there by the end of the year, will not be ruling Greece. And I think if it's... this is the problem before. If the deal is too hard for Greece, if they can't afford to pay it, it'll just unravel, won't it? And we'll have this problem again a couple months down the line with a new Prime Minister of Greece, won't it?
Well, it will, but well, I think Varoufakis, the finance minister, stepped down, didn't he? Because because he could see the way it was going, probably, and didn't want to be any part of it. Tsipras has led the campaign to try and get better terms for the for the repackaging and the refinancing. But I think when it's come down to it, they've been nailed down to a tough deal. The country's bankrupt. I think there were even discussions of a temporary Grexit for a while, weren't there? Until maybe to try the drachma and to see whether that would work. But the fundamental problem, as I think everyone's by now aware, is that you've got this nation of disparate, hundreds of disparate islands, and the method of collecting taxation is extremely inefficient. And the problem they have is not that they don't have individuals and companies earning money in the country. It's actually collecting the tax from those individuals and from those companies. And I think until they can address that fundamental issue, the country's always going to have that problem.
I think the further we go along down the road, though, obviously, I think financial and economic stability in the Eurozone gets better, but political, you know, stability is not there, you know, because you see them all pulling and toing and froing. But you said, you know, the GDP of the two biggest countries, I mean, you know, France and Germany and Spain, actually improving, you know. So, I mean, we're less likely to see another big crash. But, I mean, I think these temporary wobbles like we saw are opportunities to buy good companies. If you have a good company that's, you know, obviously not within Greece or not affected, then I'm sure it's good top up, isn't it, on these dividend-paying companies. I've been doing that, you know, and I think that's the way forward, really. I mean, and it's all about knowing the companies you're invested in, you know. I've been trimming back my portfolio because I'm finding it hard. I've had about 20 stocks, and I find it hard to keep up with the news of those and for other companies you're looking at. And I think, you know, I want to get down to about 10 companies, and that way I can know them inside out. And it's like Warren Buffett said, you can diversify yourself into ignorance, or, you know, because basically you can, you know, put a safety fence around yourself by having too many stocks, but also you won't achieve overperformance because you'll dilute the performance the more stocks you have. But I think the key is to have enough stocks you can keep an eye on so you know them inside out, basically, you know.
I agree completely. I mean, I've got more stocks than I've ever had in my portfolio currently. I've got 11 stocks, so I'm normally at about 7 or 8. Because, yeah, you know those companies inside out, you understand the dynamics, you know when they pay the dividends, if they're dividend-paying companies, and you can take a view, that's the way I've always approached it. It's worked for me, hasn't worked for some people, I know, but that's the way it's worked for the big investors. So, yeah, I couldn't keep track of 20 companies. That would be too hard. I mean, there's enough news flow coming out from the companies I have at the moment, let alone add any others into the mix. So you've got to really trim it down and understand the companies you're investing in, understand the sector, understand the dynamics driving the sector and everything else. It's the only way you can do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jim Cramer from Mad Money on CNBC there, I think he came up with a good quote. He said, you should be able to spend 1 hour per month on each company. So, obviously, if you own 20 companies, that's 20 hours a month. That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, he said you should be able to do that. You may not have to do that, but, you know, you should be able to do that. And so if you haven't got that much time, then think of it like that. And I think, you know, 10 companies, you can pretty much do 10 hours a month. You know, it's not a problem. Okay, so, and also, like I said, you've got to look out for new companies, you know, and so you've got to read about new companies as well. So there's what I'm doing here, Alice, is trying to get into a slick segue. And a company you've been looking at that you think has potential upside. You like that? That's quite slick, that one.
Yes, yeah, I do. Yeah, that sounds pretty good segue. Yeah,
yeah. And who is it, Al? What's the company you're looking at today?
Well, the company we're looking at today is actually been around for a few years. When I did some digging around on this yesterday, I didn't realise it had been around since 1986. It's a company called Telit Communications. The epic code is TCM. Now, Telit provide total connectivity for companies and corporates, machine-to-machine technology, and they're currently pioneering a service called the Internet of Things, which I suppose, how can I describe this simply? If your company or your organization has a series of apps, it's got cloud, it's got mainframe, it just provides total seamless connectivity for all those devices, for all the employees, for all the users of the company to basically react and respond to information and to use the information effectively. It also has a GPS network too, so it uses GPS technology for some of its business. It's got an automotive arm, and this company's just done very well behind the scenes. It's the company, the share price has from a low this year of 190p. It was in fact just over £2 in March, and it's now £3, and it's at all-time highs, but the business is growing rapidly. It's a really solid company. The company announced a trading update today. Half-year revenues are up 13% to $156 million, including $11 million from the Internet of Things platform, which it launched recently. That's up 26%, or the Internet of Things is up 26% on this time last year, so that's growing rapidly too. Going forward, it's projecting full-year EBITDA of somewhere between $42 and $47 million and revenues of between $350 million. So this is a company that's going places. And the unforgettably named chief executive, Uzi Katz, that's spelled O-O-Z-I-C-A-T-S, which is fantastic, is very upbeat about the future of the company. It's got good broker support too. Berenberg, the broker's been banging the drum for the company this year. Buy with a £4.10 price target. And Canaccord recently reissued its buy note, upgraded from £3.25 to £3.90 price target. And, you know, the share price is just over £3 now. So there seem to be still an awful lot of upside on offer. And, you know, looking at the chart too, it's a healthy looking chart. We've got a 50-day moving average support at £2.70, 200-day moving average at 240. So even if it sort of slips back a bit and below £3 after the trading update today, I think any weakness in the share price will be a great buying opportunity in the run up to the full year results.
Yeah, go on. I'm looking at a 5-year chart on this, and let's go to 3 years. Yeah, and
it's impressive over both.
Yeah, even 3 years ago, it was a 50p.
Yeah,
and I was at £3.02. And like I said, it has these surges. It does pull back, though. It pulls back to the 200 moving average, and it bounces below that, then shoots up past it. It's almost like, you know, wait for it to come back to the 200 moving average, and then almost start accumulating. And looking at, you know, forward earnings per share growth forecasting, it's 20% this year, 50% next year, and yep. A PEG of 1 and a PEG of 0.3 the year after that. And, you know, the PE is 20, but going down to 13. It looks, do you know what? The fundamentals look all good, all strong. It's a growing company, of course, so I shouldn't expect it. But the only disappointment here is that there's no dividend. And that's the only point. It's a growth company, isn't it, really, you know?
It's a growth company, but doubtless once they've got the Internet of Things platform better established, the company will naturally start paying a dividend at some point. But, yeah, we've got fast growth here. And, you know, when you're led by a guy called Uzi Katz, what can possibly go wrong?
Exactly. Marvellous. That's telecommunications, TCM, the ticker code. Cheers, Al.
Cheers, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the micro-macro news. Here's the macro news. Eurozone leaders have agreed to offer Greece a third bailout after marathon talks in Brussels. Amid one of the worst crises in EU history, the head of the European Commission said the risk of Greece leaving the Eurozone has been averted. And but the thing is, you know, an EU statement spoke of a €86 billion refinancing for Greece over 3 years. But it seems now that Tsipras has signed up to a deal that's a lot tighter, a lot harsher than the deal that was offered to him before the referendum. And people are now saying he will be, you know, out of government. He won't be prime minister come the end of the year. So it just seems if this deal is too hard again for Greece, if it's too austere for Greece, it'll unravel, won't it? And we'll be in this situation a couple. Like I said, you know, with Alan on the podcast, in a couple of months down the line, we'll prep this again, and that is a buying opportunity in companies you know very well, the companies you already own, you've done research on. Buy some more. If you know them back to front, and you're confident in their performance, and you've read their statements, buy some more, especially the dividend-paying stocks, especially. Exports in the world's second-largest economy, China, have risen, ending 3 months of decline in June. Exports rose by 2.1% in yuan-dominated terms compared with a year ago. The government is set to release growth figures for the second quarter on Wednesday, and many economists have forecast that it could slip to below 7%, which would be its weakest showing in 6 years. Yeah, it's slightly worrying, but I'd be surprised if it is 7%. It's got to be slower than that. And of course, this thing that's happened with the stock markets, it knocks a lot of people's confidence in China, and they're trying to switch from a growth-led export economy to a consumer-led economy from within. And when people are losing money in the stock market, they don't have confidence to spend money. They haven't got money. They've lost money. Talking about that, mainland Chinese shares continued their way higher as more measures to strengthen the market from its recent rout encourage investors to return. The Shanghai Composite closed up 2.4%, rebounding nearly 20% from the four-month low on Thursday. And here's the micro news. Here's the good news. Barclays may acquire another bank as part of its plans to ring-fence its retail operations while setting up its investment bank as a standalone unit. I should have talked to Alan about that, actually, on the podcast. He owns Barclays, so do I. And it's odd that this surprise sacking of the CEO, because they were trying to, realign Barclays with a consumer residential bank, sort of a bit like Lloyds, a bit more like Lloyds, and move away from the risky investment bank, which was very profitable but very risky. But now it looks like the second of Anthony Jenkins is now moving back towards the investment side of the bank. So they're looking for apparently a better return on equity. So we'll see what happens there. But the share price has risen since the CEO sacking there. Janelle Energy said production in its first half increased 41% year on year and announced that as of the 12th of July, Rodney Chase resigned from the company and former BB boss Tony Haywood has been appointed chairman in his place. Yet, you know what? The only thing I remember of Tony Haywood was that video, awful video. And when that happened, the Deepwater Horizon in Gulf of Mexico happened. And he came on video and said, listen, this is a nightmare for me. Taking into account people had died in this explosion and this problem with BP had. He said, listen, this is a nightmare for me as well. When he was asked by the cameraman or the reporter, he said, I've been dragged away from my family on a Sunday, nice Sunday afternoon, to deal with this, What? So you disrupted your Sunday lunch because a couple of people have died. Is that what you're saying? Oh, what a hassle. And so it doesn't give a positive image, really, but I suppose he's a big name. Lightwave RF has signed a long-term supply contract with Havells India for distribution on the Indian market. S3 has posted a 68% rise in first-half pre-tax profits as strong growth in information and communications technology and life sciences offset weakness in its energy division. Shares in FTSE 250 listed Allant surged 45% on news that US chemicals business platform Specialty Products will buy the company for around $1.35 billion in cash. Gambling website operator 888 is expected to do this week to do battle with aimlisted rival GVC in a bidding war for Bwin Party. Nostrum Oil and Gas has made further approach to Tethys Petroleum regarding a possible offer for the entire company. The possible offer price represents a premium of 46% over the closing share price on the Toronto Stock Exchange as of 9th July. Energy company BG Group has started up loading its first liquefied natural gas from the second production train at the Queensland Kurdish facility in Australia. And Trans-Siberian Gold said production of silver and gold at its Asha site rose in the first 6 months of 2015, and shares in Northern Bay climbed nearly 6% today after posting better than expected full year results. And here's the bad news. Collagen components manufacturer Collagen Solutions reported a wider annual loss on the back of the expansion of its operations. International Personal Finance, a Sunday stock picker mine, has been hit by a surprise vote in the Polish Parliament to cap all non-interest costs on consumer loans, which analysts said could be or have a significant detrimental impact on its profitability in the country. Yeah, and that's the biggest market, I think, so it's quite worrying that. Wood chip supplier Active Energy said delays in installing new handling equipment will result in a reduction in forecast hardwood wood chip volumes for 2015. Oh, hardwood wood chip volumes. Yeah. Here's the broker forecast. Here are upgrades. Citigroup has upgraded Glencore to buy. Price target £2.90. I know Citigroup are upgrading. Miners, I think they've had so much weakness in price, so the miners have all been upgraded. Rio Tinto and what I hold, BHP Billiton last week was upgraded by Citigroup. Beaufort Securities upgraded Intercontinental Hotels Group to buy. They've also upgraded W Resources to speculative buy. And downgrades. JP Morgan Cazenove has downgraded Stage Group, Stagecoach Group, to neutral. Price target £4.50. And they've also downgraded Arm Holdings to underweight with a price target of £9. That's it for the podcast. Thank you for listening. By all means, do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation in this podcast, as it's only just opinion. Please do your own research, as it's your own money. Thank you very much for listening. If you've got spare time, by all means, give me a review on iTunes if you could, and a 5-star rating. That would help very much indeed. And if you're not getting this podcast, then it's because I'm on a new host. But also, if you're not getting this podcast, you can't hear this, so it doesn't matter. But listen, if you can help me out, please tell a friend about this podcast. If you do like it, if you listen to it, if you get any value from it, and you've got someone or you know someone who's would like to get into investing or likes investing, please mention to one person. That's all I say. One person. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you listening. Speak tomorrow.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.